Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and on today's show, my guest is Nick Harris.
Hello.
Nick, thanks for joining me. Nick is not only a technical evangelist in the same group I'm in, but he is also a host of the famous and esteemed show Cloud Cover here on the Channel 9 fine network of web shows.
Yes.
And Nick has agreed to slum it on my show.
That's right.
And talk about Azure. Now, on your show, Cloud Cover is for people that are doing Azure on a regular basis. Yep. You guys get all deep into it, and it's a great show. Mm-hmm. Never miss an episode. But what I thought I'd have you on today is to let's talk about a little bit about the tooling. The Azure team just very recently introduced the next round of the tools, the 1.7 SDK.
That's correct.
And there's some new tooling in there, or so I've heard.
Yeah, so we've actually, on June the 7th, we announced the new Azure Preview features. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of new capability with that. And also, in parallel with that, we've released a new tool set, which is the 1.7 SDK.
Okay. So there's a lot of people who have heard about Azure and haven't tried it yet. So I thought what we'd do on this show is do a lap around Visual Studio tooling for Azure.
Right.
There are people who have played with it before using the previous tools and then maybe went away for a while, now they'll come back. There's some new tooling, so that will also get people who have played with it before up to speed so that they come back to it, download the new 1.7, they won't get overly confused that the tooling has changed.
That's right.
And so basically the idea is to, we'll do a lap around and show people how they can get started developing for Azure.
Right.
Sound good?
Sounds awesome.
All right.
I'll try not to sabotage your show so Cloud Cover looks better. I'll try and make all the demos work on this particular one. How's that sound? It may actually be better than our other recording on Cloud Cover.
You know, it's not a competition among shows, right?
Okay.
They're all valuable and they're, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
They're all awesome or
Some are more awesome than others. You're a seasoned professional. You've been here for quite a while, haven't you?
What have we been doing? This close to a year, I think.
Yeah, I heard you had over 1 million views of your show. Like, that was maybe 3 months ago.
So far, I think we're at 1.8 million at this point. We're fast closing in on the 2 million mark.
That's incredible. That's a
achievement. You know, I want to have a contest, right? The 2 millionth viewer gets a prize, but...
Awesome.
First of all, I just come up with a prize. And then secondly, how would you know?
Yeah.
Right,
so. That's a hard thing. All right. So with that, let's jump into Windows Azure.
All right. So I'm brand new to Azure. How do I get started?
Right. So at the moment, we're here, and we're in the Windows Azure portal. So the Windows Azure portal is at windowsazure.com.
Okay.
And this is the landing page. So we're flexible, open, and rock solid. So if you come down here, someone who's new to Windows Azure and perhaps doesn't have a subscription, they can come across and they can select free trial.
Excellent. Okay.
So free trial is going to give them 90 days of access to Azure at no cost to go and experience and play with some of the features that we're going to go through today.
Great.
But what you'll notice is I've already logged in here. So immediately up in the top right, I've got access to the Windows Azure portal. Mm-hmm. So I can just click on this, and it'll take me straight into the new Windows Azure portal. So we've come in, and you can see that I've been granted access to some of the preview features that we've just released, being virtual machines and Windows Azure websites in this case. So now I can continue on to use the new portal.
Okay.
So this is the new portal. So for those of you that are familiar with the old portal, you'll notice that this is reasonably different.
Yeah.
New layout, HTML5. Now, before we jump into what's in this whole portal, perhaps we should mention what those new features were that were announced.
Okay.
So we announced Windows Azure Websites. So Windows Azure Websites is essentially a highly elastic solution that allows you to rapidly develop and deploy websites to Windows Azure, be it a PHP website, a Node.js website, an ASP.NET MVC website, whatever that may be.
Okay.
So that's this first option here. We've also got Windows Azure Virtual Machines. So this is new as well, not to be confused with a VM role, which is still available, but it's part of our cloud service offering. So Windows Azure Virtual Machines is essentially a virtual machine as you know it today. So if you've got virtualization technologies on-premise and say you've got your VHDs there, you can take those VHDs and spin them up within Windows Azure. So you can take it from on-prem and put it up into Azure, or likewise you could take it back and put it the other way if you wanted to.
Cool.
On top of that, we've also got a gallery with some pre-provisioned VMs there that you can go and spin up. So the cool thing about that is we can do a demo of that one today as well. Cloud services. This has been existing for a while. So what this is essentially it's a PaaS model or a PaaS model to development. I think my accent is probably not pronouncing it the way you guys
PaaS. Say
it. Yeah, so it's a PaaS model for development, which essentially means...
Which is platform as
a service.
Service.
Okay. So you focus on developing your application, and then once you've developed that application, say in Visual Studio or whatnot, you just that gets packaged and published up into the cloud,
okay.
And then Microsoft will go and manage with spinning up the VMs or whatever's required to have that deployed.
And that's going
to
be the typical model, right? You've got your code and your logic and your service running not on premises on an IIS server, but up in the cloud in Azure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's one typical model. So we found that's really cool because some development companies that are going and building these things, they don't want to have to deal with managing, say, rolling out Windows updates or mm-hmm. installing software on machines, configuring IIS, and that's where PaaS really comes into play,
right.
And that's what cloud services is for. But there are also companies that wanted full control over, you know, what's running in their VM, and that's why virtual machines has come into existence. So we've also got SQL databases here,
mm-hmm.
so you can create and provision DBs up there. We've got Windows Azure Storage, so that's Windows Azure Table Storage, Blob Storage, and Queues.
Yep.
And we've also got virtual networks as well. So this is a new thing that's available and allows you to create networks up within Azure.
So people new to Azure are going to start off with cloud services and then either storage or SQL databases depending on their needs.
Yeah, well they may start with any one of these things depending on their needs. They may perhaps just want a SQL database up in Azure and they may open up a firewall rule so they can hit that from on-premise.
Okay.
They may want to just deploy a website, for instance, in
mm-hmm.
which case they may use Windows Azure websites. They may want, to host some corporate or proprietary config of an image of, say, Windows Server 2008 up in Azure.
Okay.
So they may use virtual machines. So it really is quite flexible for how people want to manage their workloads. So I guess what we should do is we should start with, let's create a website.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've just clicked on the websites tab here. So what I can do from here, you'll see anyone who's new to the portal, when you click on any one of these items, it's going to show you what you've already got provisioned. Down the bottom here, we have a context-sensitive menu that allows you to perform actions relating to your item within there. So within the Websites tab, I have these options. Within, say, Virtual Machines or Cloud Services, I may have other options available to me. The commonality within that is this New button. So you can come here and you can press New. So from here, I can go out and start creating things. So this is quite cool. So if I want to create a website, we've got a few ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do quick create, which is going to reserve a subdomain for us that we can deploy to later. We can do create with database. That's going to allow us to, say, do the same thing, but also provision, say, a SQL DB or
mm-hmm.
a MySQL DB if we want. And we can also do from gallery. So we've actually got some templated websites that you can come out and start with here. So before we get to the Visual Studio experience, I think perhaps what we'll do is we'll create something from Gallery, and then following that, we'll create a site from Visual Studio and deploy it.
All right. Sounds good.
So let's select from Gallery here. Now, what you can see is that we've got a number of templates here for sites that you may want to go out and sort of provision directly into the cloud. So if you're a blogger, right,
mm-hmm.
some of these are familiar, like Orchard CMS. That's
right.
One that we've created here. You've got WordPress and you've got Joomla. Quite a few selections there at the moment. But if we go and say, okay, well, let's create a new WordPress site. So what we've got here is we've got a gallery of apps that we can just deploy directly. So if you're a blogger or something like that, at the moment you can see that we've got a few blogging engines there. We've got .NET Nuke, Orchard CMS, and WordPress. So if I select to deploy WordPress, I can hit WordPress, and I can essentially just press Next. So the next question is going to say, well, if we're deploying WordPress for you,
mm-hmm.
where would you like that to be deployed?
Right.
Now, by default, everything in Windows Azure Websites gets deployed to azurewebsites.net. Okay. So it's a subdomain of that. So if we say Roe Green for Robert Green, we can see that that subdomain is available.
I would hope so. I don't know what's squatting on my name.
I'll keep this here forever now.
I'll give you $5 for it.
Okay. Ten and you got a deal. So what we can do is now we've got this subdomain, and WordPress requires MySQL, mm-hmm. And we can select a region from which where we can deploy that. Okay. So in this case, the default that we're going into here is East US. Now, one of the things that is pretty cool, if you remember that first page we hit on the WindowsAzure.com, we said open and flexible. So
right.
WordPress is using MySQL. It's not using SQL Server.
Yep.
So that's a true example of how we're open. So this is going to spin up a MySQL DB and provision that WordPress site to Azure for us. So we just hit next, and it's going to name that SQL database for us,
mm-hmm.
the MySQL DB. So when it spins up, it's given it a default name here. We could change that if we want, but in this case, we're just going to click through.
No, that's easy to remember. We'll just leave that.
Yeah. So let's hit accept. And now this is going off, and this is going to provision your WordPress blog on Windows Azure Websites.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, pretty cool. So one of the things I'd like to point out is, and this is common across all portions of this portal, down the bottom here you can see a little progress item
yep.
of what's occurring with your deployment. So at the moment it's just deploying the site for us. So now we've got your WordPress site deployed. So if you think of how long that may normally take you if you were doing it through some other hosting provider or something like that, it's going to take you a while to go and create that. You may be grabbing WordPress locally and then configuring it and then pushing it up and creating yep. your MySQL DB and such. But this, it was just
a
matter of clicks and, yep. and now it's there. So we can navigate out to this site now, and you'll see here that now it's on the standard WordPress startup saying, what do we want the site called? Green's Uber blog. And we need a password. What's your password?
Guess.
He's too smart.
That is always my password hint, though. Guess.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So let me click on install WordPress here. So now we're here and we're ready to hit our site. So I'm just going to go back to Robert Green's Uber blog here. And you can see there's your WordPress
nice.
Site.
Awesome.
Spun up. So that's cool. that's pretty straightforward, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
And the experiences for all the other items in the gallery are identical in terms of...
Will it create my posts for me automatically? Because this is the easy part.
Yeah.
It's going to look like that a year from now.
Yeah, but probably won't create the post for you, unfortunately.
Ah.
Maybe in the future.
That'd be a great feature to have in the future.
Yeah. So I think what we should do now is, so we've seen the easy... You know, select something from gallery and hit next. But
yep.
what I'd like to show you, this is Visual Studio Toolbox, of
it
course.
It is.
So let's have a look at how you can create that website from Visual Studio.
Cool.
We won't do WordPress. Let's do perhaps an ASP.NET MVC
sure.
site.
Yep.
So the first thing we need to do in this case now is to say, well, let's get a domain ready or a subdomain of that
okay.
for us to deploy to. So I'm going to select Create with Database, and I'll call it Roe Green 2. And I'll say, let's create a new SQL DB
mm-hmm.
and hit next. So we've given it a subdomain, and we're going to provision a new SQL DB. So this is a Windows Azure SQL DB.
Right.
So the next thing that we can do is we can say, well, what size do we want this DB to be? Do we want it to be a business edition up to 150 gig there? Or do we want just a simple web edition?
Okay.
Given that we're not
different
doing
different pricing
much,
depending on what you choose,
yeah,
presumably?
There's different pricing okay. and that's available on the portal.
Okay.
So we've got that, and you can provision a new Windows Azure SQL database server, perhaps in a region like Europe. We've got two data centers there, or you could do North America, mm-hmm. Central US, and such. But at the moment, we'll just use an existing one. So let's hit next. And then we'll choose a server name. So I've got a few servers here. And I'll put in my password here. I think I typed that wrong. Hit OK. Now this is going to go out and it's going to provision that SQL DB for us,
right.
And it's also going to reserve that subdomain. Now, for those people who may be using this to develop and publish websites, you'll note that you can set up a standard CNAME. If you want to go out and buy a domain like robertgreen.com,
mm-hmm. Right.
You can set up a CNAME to go and point that at, say, roguegreen2 at
sure.
azurewebsites.net. Okay. And then you can go to it with the standard sort of...
So it's up already.
Yeah, so...
Nice and
so,
fast.
Well, the DB's done,
yep.
And it's also gone and... created that subdomain for us. But we now need to build our website, right?
Yes.
So this is where the cool stuff comes in, or the Visual Studio side of things. So right here, I've got a empty VS, and this is VS 2012.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So
so that begs the question.
Yep.
Can I use 2010 as well?
Yes, you All can right. use 2010. So there are tools available on WindowsAzure.com
mm-hmm.
to download for... VS 2012 and for VS 2010 SP1.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is for Visual Studio 2012, this is the first time we've seen this, right? Because
yes.
Visual Studio 11 beta did not have the Azure tooling
That's
built
right.
in.
Yep.
The toolkit supported 2010, but not 11. And we said, well, just wait, it'll get there.
Yep.
And it's now here.
Yes.
Very cool.
Is. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yes. Is the tooling itself dramatically different between 2010 and... 2012.
There are some differences, and we'll cover them today in the last portion of the show.
Okay.
But the standard Azure developer, they should still be able to go and do what they were doing before. If they want to import their projects, they can go and import that
right.
project.
So you could have update, two people so. Working on the same Azure web project, one in 2012, one in 2010, and they would get along fine?
That should be okay if they're using the same version of the Windows Azure SDK.
Okay.
So all this new stuff... is Windows Azure SDK 1.7.
Okay.
But Windows Azure SDK 1.7 runs side by side now with Windows Azure SDK 1.6.
Okay. So if I have Visual Studio 2010 and I install the 1.7 tools
yep.
and then I have and then you're using Visual Studio 2012 and you install
yep.
the same 1.7 tools
yep.
then we could both work in the same project.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
Yep. So let's create a new project here. So we'll hit new project. Now we'll come back to cloud later. So this cloud option is for that cloud service model that we talked about. But if we're just working with Windows Azure websites,
mm-hmm.
it's somewhat a little bit simpler in terms of concepts that people need to learn. So let's create a new MVC4 web application. Hit OK.
Mm-hmm.
We'll use the Internet application template. And hit OK on that. And now this is going to go and create the default template that we're all used to. Now, so we've got this default template. So what I want to do really is I just want to go and say, we've got this template, let's just deploy it and see.
You just want to publish it yep. to the cloud,
yeah.
basically.
That's right. So we need to do one thing here. So we right-click and we press publish on the MVC app. One thing I'll show before we do that, let me just reorganize the screen here. So you can see there's no cloud project or anything here.
Right.
This is a standard ASP.NET MVC site default template. So we can hit publish. Now, what this is asking me for is to say, if you want to publish somewhere, I need to know where that is.
Right.
And we call that a publish profile. So to make it really easy for you to set up a publish profile in Visual Studio, what we do in the portal here is if we click into the roguegreen2 option, we can come down and we can say download publish profile.
Nice.
Yes. But treat this like you would with any other username, password type thing, because it is essentially allowing you to go and publish up. You wouldn't
right.
download it in a web cafe and leave it on the desktop.
Right.
So let's save this. And we'll just drop it into my downloads folder. So now we've got that there. So let's probably want to edit that out. That was my start screen. So let's go back to Visual Studio and import roguegreen2 publish profile. So there we go. We've got the full profile here.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the URL. It knows what site we're deploying it to. So that's pretty cool, right?
Yep.
Hit next. Now, we can go off and say, well, remember that DB that got automatically provisioned? Mm-hmm. We can have this deploy and update the connection string to point to that DB. So now you've got your ASP.NET MVC website. Now, locally, if I'm running it here, it's using local DB.
Right.
But in Windows Azure websites, you wanted to point at that real DB that we provisioned. So it's just a matter of selecting that. So that's come down in the publish profile mm-hmm. as well, which is pretty cool. You don't need to copy-paste connection strings and that sort of stuff anymore. Hit next, and it's just a matter of hitting publish. So now this is publishing. So anyone who's deployed a website to Windows Azure historically may note that with cloud services, it can take sort of 6 to 8 minutes to go and spin up that role, configure it, deploy the packages and stuff. But as you can see here, we've just quite deployed that. Yeah.
Wow. That is blazingly fast.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty awesome, isn't
it? Yeah. 6 to 8. I thought that was optimistic when you said that, but I'll take your word for it. But this is fast.
Yeah, this is really fast. So that was our publish. We've seen the website. That was pretty cool. So let's go and look at some of the other new features that we've got. So let's return back to our portal. Now, one of the things that I wanted to point out here, when we deployed that the first time, we just published direct from Visual Studio.
Right.
But you'll note here, so if you're off and you're exploring this on yourselves after on your own after seeing the show, we've got the capability to set up publishing direct from TFS or Git.
Cool.
So that's a pretty cool feature. The other thing I'd like to show you here in the portal for that site before we jump into VMs is that we can go and scale that site out. So at the moment, by default, it's just running with one instance. But if we want to say, let's go and make that 3 instances, mm-hmm. perhaps you're getting a lot more load on your blog or on this website than before, we can go off and we can do that. So what it's doing now that I've hit saved is it's gone out and scaled this out to 3 instances. And that's done already. So it's all there. It's all load balanced. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So one thing to note about Windows Azure websites is, similar to cloud services, you've got different models or cores that you can deploy to. So we've got a shared mode where the cores are shared that you're deploying to, but your site is sandboxed from everyone else. But we've also got a reserved mode. So in reserved mode here, it's saying, you know, be careful, are you sure? Because this may cost more money. I'll hit OK. Save, hit yes. So right. So now that that's saved, we can go off and we can change our core size and also scale that up as well.
So now you have dedicated box, in quotes, if you will.
It is a true dedicated virtual machine.
Right.
Yep. So let's go back and select VMs.
So before we move there, if I recall correctly, and maybe we're going to get to this, but last time I played with Azure with the previous tooling, there were web roles and worker roles.
Yep.
Are those still there? Have they gone away?
No, they're all still there. So this is all new capability that we're seeing.
Okay.
And we'll do VMs, which is new, and then we'll do those ones which you talked about just then. So web role, worker role, and the VM role all sit under cloud services.
Right, okay.
Now, just to clarify for people, they may be saying, hold on, he's saying VM role, but he's saying virtual machines are new. These are two very different things. A VM role is part of that PaaS model, part of cloud services, and that doesn't have persistent disk, whereas VM role, on the other hand, does.
That's right.
And it's completely controlled by you, the customer. So let's go to virtual machines here. And I'm going to go and provision a brand new virtual machine. And we'll do that from the gallery. So with VMs, people may have existing VHDs on-premise that they want to pull up and put in here. That's certainly possible. You just do it all through the portal. Or other people may want to just start from a standard base image and configure it themselves.
Right.
Because I don't have a VHD here, you know, in my back pocket, I'm going to use the gallery. So if we come in, hit new, say new virtual machine, we can create one here from the gallery. Now, what do you notice there?
I notice that the most important ones are on top.
Nice.
I kid, of course.
Yeah.
I notice that there are things other than Windows.
That's right. Open. So, open platform. So you can see that we've got core Microsoft products mm-hmm. here, but we've also got Linux running or able to run
right.
within our VM infrastructure. So that's pretty cool. But let's provision, say, a Windows Server 2008 R2 VM. So all we need to do is select the image, give it a name, Rogreen VM, password. We'll leave it as a small core. We'll hit next. Now, again, we need to give it a DNS name. So this mm-hmm. is something that we can address. So we'll call it Rogreen. I'm taking all of these so you can never have them again, Robert. And then let's have it automatically generate a storage account to store that disk in. And we'll put this one in Southeast Asia. So we hit next. Now, availability sets are essentially, if you're deploying multiple VMs, that say if you're configuring SQL mirroring or something like that, mm-hmm. You may want those VMs to be in different fault domains. So what that means, fault is you're going to go and deploy, say, SQL 1 to one fault domain and SQL 2 to the other fault domain. So perhaps completely separate racks. So if one falls down,
yep.
you're not going to go out, essentially. So as far as DR is concerned, you've always going to have one running
okay.
by using an availability set. So you can configure that there, but let's just hit next. So what this is going to do now is it's going to take that image for Windows Server 2008 R2, and it's going to go and provision that for us. Now this is spinning up a whole VM, so it does take a little bit of time.
Okay.
But I do have one here that I created earlier.
Excellent.
Yep. So you can see that you can, let's look at the contextual menu here. You can restart that VM, you can shut it down, you can attach disks if you want to.
Okay.
So if you want, say, another disk attached to that drive, you can attach it, and that'll show up automatically in your VM and say your next disk, like D, E, or F, or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also remote desktop into your machines. So this is opening an RDP profile for
yep.
me. So most people who have ever remote desktoped into a machine will be familiar with this. It's just a matter of hitting administrator and then the password. Hit OK. And now I'm going to go off and connect to that VM, and it's going to sign me in, and you'll see that I'll have a remote desktop as soon as that's ready.
Cool.
Yeah, so pretty cool capability, really. So, yes. And here we go. It's just spinning now. Should be there any second. This is quite a small core that I'm remote desktoping into. But let's give that a few seconds to jump in. Configuring remote session.
It's getting there.
There we go.
There we are.
So you can see, there you go.
Cool.
That's your Windows Server 2008 R2 that's
yep.
been provisioned up in Windows Azure.
Very nice.
So that's virtual machines. So let's close that connection down. Next on our list, cloud services. And I think perhaps this will be the last thing we touch on this show.
Okay.
And I think you'll do a deeper dive, level 200, sometime in the future
sure.
to go and cover other things, including virtual networks and some of the other storage offerings. But let's create a cloud service. So what I'd like to do here is essentially talk about cloud services a bit. So anyone who's been an Azure developer before, this is essentially the same thing, but there are some changes.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see most of the changes when we start walking through the tooling. I'll sort of call those out. But with cloud services, we have three different roles. So we've got what we call a web role. So that's essentially full IIS. We've got a worker role, which is similar to a Windows service. So if anyone's developed a Windows service before,
mm-hmm.
which has like well-defined an on-start, a run, and an on-stop entry points, you can go out and build out something that's essentially performing an action at some defined period of time that you want it to do that at. The last one is VM role. And as we discussed, it's not to be confused with virtual machines. Essentially, what you'd use a VM role for is perhaps, let's say you have some form of third-party or proprietary software that you want to deploy, and it may have perhaps a difficult but scriptable installation process.
Okay.
You can choose to use a VM role to do that for you. So let's jump right into Visual Studio and perhaps create a cloud service.
Okay.
And look at the new SDK 1.7 tooling. Right. So, just going to close this guy, do a new project. Now, so before we were deploying to Windows Azure websites, we were using ASP.NET MVC 4.
Right.
So now we're going to go back to the familiar cloud project. So this is what you use for deploying cloud services. So I'm going to hit OK on that. Now.
Okay, there's the familiar stuff.
This is the familiar stuff for people. So you'll see, though, that there are some things that are different to what you've seen before. So the ASP.NET and MVC stuff is the same. The worker role's the same. But now we've got two options here that people may not have seen before. We've got a cache worker role, and we've got a worker role with service bus.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll come back to the cache worker role when we're looking at the settings for this one I'm going to generate.
Okay.
So essentially here, you could, if you wanted to create a web role, say to host a MVC website, you could do that. If you want to create a worker role to do some form of background task or long-running process or process items off a queue, you can use a worker role. But this is a new template, a worker role with service bus. So essentially, this drops into your solution a template that helps you get started really quick and see how you can use service bus in your applications.
Okay, so for new people, explain the service bus.
Service bus is quite a large topic, but if people are trying to say what's the basic understanding of the service bus, so service bus allows you to, in the most basic sense, have a queue that you can enqueue and dequeue messages from. So in that most basic sense, essentially, you may have perhaps a website that's taking orders, and you may have a worker role that needs to process orders and go out and perhaps push those orders into some distributed system. Now, if you were to do all that work within the web role, what may happen is if your, say, web role goes down or it gets under a large amount of demand, it may not be able to go and process those orders.
Okay.
So if you then use a decoupled design, where you've got a web role, a service bus queue, and a worker role, your web role can happily keep enqueuing those messages. And then let's say if your web role goes down, your worker role can still continue to pull orders off the queue and then go off and process them.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the reverse, if your worker role goes down, your web role can just keep enqueuing them in there and they'll be retained there until your worker role comes back up and pulls them off. Now, in a general sense, that's not going to happen with Windows Azure. But there are cases, say, where you have... if you only had one worker role instance, rather than scaling that out to two or more, your worker role may be taken down to install, say, Windows updates. And that's part of the PaaS model.
Right.
So one thing to be wary of is if you are doing this, you should have at least two instances to ensure that the SLAs that we've got will be met.
Right.
Because patching does go on.
Okay.
Yep. So let's use a worker role template here. So hit OK. So, what do I want to show you here? Right, so, we've got our worker role template. You can see that we've got something a little bit different now.
Excuse me.
Bless you, child. so we've got what we've called a, we've got what we call a cloud project, and we've got a worker role project here as well. Now, the cloud project links to our worker role. So it defines that in this cloud project that we're packaging up, because this is a PaaS model, right? We just want to focus on developing our app and then hit publish and then not have to worry about it and let Azure go and do all the rest for us. So our cloud project is linked to our worker role. So let's have a quick look at our worker role here. So if I click down through here, you'll see we've got worker role and it implements or inherits from role entry point. Now, as I said before, it's quite similar to a Windows service in terms of the development model. So we've got a well-defined on-run method, which you can override and go and implement your own logic. We've got an onStart method. We've got an onStop method. So the sequence you would see there is it would call onStart. That's where you do any initialization that you may want to do. It then calls run, and run will run until the stop method is called.
Okay.
So in this particular one, essentially what we're doing is we're just receiving messages off a service bus queue. So we need to configure that somehow. We need to say to our worker role, where is that service bus queue, and what are the credentials to get access to that?
Mm-hmm.
So what's cool about this template is it drops that configuration in for you. So if I come into my settings here and just collapse the screen down a bit so you can see it a bit better, you can see that one thing that we've got here is this service bus connection string. And what you'll note is it's templated out to say, well, what is your namespace that you want this template project to be reading messages from? So we need to provide that. Now, for any of those Azure developers, historically, Server Explorer has had options for Windows Azure Storage and Windows Azure Compute.
Yep.
So in terms of tooling improvements in SDK 1.7, we've now got Windows Azure Service Bus. We've also got VMs integrated into the Server Explorer. So what we can do here is we can expand this out, and you can see a service bus namespace that I provisioned earlier. So what we can do now is we can get those credentials that we need to put in that connection string. So my resolution here is quite low, and that's just because we're recording it for this session. So on anyone else's screens at home, it's probably going to be a bit nicer adjusted here, not so compressed. But if I select service bus here, I can see that we've got a service bus namespace.
Yep.
So I can copy this guy, and I can come in, and I can essentially just replace that here. Drop that in. And now the other thing we require in this string is your secret, so the credential to be able to access this queue. So if I come back here, you can see this is actually a public endpoint for this service bus namespace. And if I grab the credential now, we'll be able to go and have our worker role read items from a queue within that namespace.
Okay.
So I'm going to expand the queues here. You can see that I've got a few queues. I've got a demo queue, a processing queue, and such. So let's jump back to the code and have a look exactly at what it does. So we've got a brokered message, and we're going to say, let's call receive from that. So our client is defined and set within our onStart. So recall how I said if we put our initialization code in onStart, we can then go and new up, say, the things that we want to be available and accessible for the duration of that run method, which runs until you're stopped. So in this case, in onStart, we've created a client to service bus, and we're reading from the connection string we've stored in our config those credentials that we've just put in there. So now when our worker role starts running, we can actually receive messages off the queue. And the queue name that we're using is processing queue.
Okay.
All right. So I think we should fire this up and watch messages come off.
Okay.
Sound good? So what I'll do, though, just so our messages look a bit nicer, I'm just going to have the label property here displayed as our worker role runs. So let's hit start on this guy. So what we've got with our tooling here is we've essentially got emulators. So we've got emulators that can locally emulate Windows Azure Storage and Windows Azure Compute.
Mm-hmm.
So in most cases, depending on the solution you're building, we've got emulators for a large portion of the platform. So you can go and build all this locally and then deploy it later. The exception here in this example that we're talking about is the service bus. We don't have an emulator for service bus, so I've had to provision a real service bus namespace. But what you can see now is my emulator's started up, and I can go and say, show compute emulator. So that'll show in a second. I'm impatient. So let's dock this guy there. And now let's dock this guy over here. So we've got the two here. So you can see this is our compute emulator. And essentially, by default, the templates only ask for one instance.
Okay.
But what we can do is we can actually start having this worker role read messages off that queue. So you can see the run method's been hit here.
Yep.
So if I go and say, let's send a test message to this queue. So we've sent a test message with this label. Now we wait for the worker role to run. So it's running and it's got to sleep. You can see there's our test message.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. So that's sent a real message from Visual Studio on our local device up to Windows Azure Service Bus queue. And then the worker role running here in the local compute emulator has read and received that.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. But let's take a look at some of the tooling improvements that we've got. So let's start with looking at some of the properties that we've got here. So the first thing I'd like to show is on our cloud project. So if we select web, you can see, let me hit stop here so we can change things. You can see that by default now, your cloud projects, VS 2012, we're going to use IIS Express to spin this up. We also use local DB by default.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to install SQL Express and such on your machine. So that's a pretty cool tooling improvement. But let's move on to the Azure specific improvements here. So let's go to endpoints. So I want to call out a few things here. With our endpoints, so if we're exposing an endpoint to be publicly visible on this worker role, we've got a new option here now, UDP. So we've got UDP support, which is pretty integral in, say, gaming scenarios and things like that. We've got what's called an instance endpoint. So now instances are addressable from on-prem. Mm-hmm. So if you have, say, 4 instances of this worker role running, and you want to address that from, say, an application running in your corporate network, and you've added this endpoint, you can target, say, port 10107 here. It's going to go to the first instance, 108 is the second, third, and fourth, like that. And the last change that we've got here from a tooling perspective is that with the internal endpoints, we can now say, if we've got, say, a web role and a worker role, and they're exposing internal endpoints so they can talk to each other within the data center, but not have them publicly exposed, we can now say we want our internal endpoint to be able to talk any protocol rather than just a single one.
Okay.
So that's quite useful for people building solutions as well. So let's move down to caching. So this is a pretty significant change in terms of, or additional feature in terms of Windows Azure offering. So we've got, and we still have, the Windows Azure caching service. So this is a caching service that Microsoft provides for you, and you can use that in your applications to, say, store your session state or any sort of data that you want cached in memory, rather than having to hit disk or your storage all the time to come and pull that back.
Mm-hmm.
So that exists. But what this caching tab now allows us to do is and it's in preview at the moment, allows us to enable caching within this particular role. So when I enable caching, we're using Velocity Cache here to go and provide a caching solution. So essentially, there's two ways this can be used. So let's say that you've got web roles, worker roles, and all these roles that are being deployed, and your worker role here, really it may not have that much work to do. It may be sitting there and reading messages, maybe 2,000, 10,000 messages every hour, but perhaps most of the time, it may be idle. So we wanted to make people able to utilize that compute and that power which you're paying for more efficiently. So what we can do here is we can enable caching role, and in the co-located role, that just means you can use whatever memory is available on that machine that's not being used. Mm-hmm. So in this case, I can say, well, I want the cache to take up, say, 50% or 51% of the memory available on that machine. And then my worker role is going to run within the rest of that.
Okay, cool.
So cool cost saving and cool feature. And then we've also got dedicated roles. So if you want to go and deploy, say, 2 worker roles that are just a pure dedicated caching role, that means you can spin those up, deploy them, and all the memory on those instances is going to be used and distributed, sorry, I should say a distributed cache. Mm-hmm. If you've got, let's say, two small instances with 1-point-something mega gig of memory, that's going to be pooled, and you can write to that. And essentially, it's a good caching solution.
Okay, cool.
So I'd encourage people who are interested in that to perhaps go out and look in a bit more. The last thing is there on that, you can name those caches. So you can actually provide different names to those caches if you want and split it up into multiple sort of named caches so you can address different ones, perhaps for different things. So what else is new in tooling? Here within the Server Explorer, we also have virtual machines exposed. So if I wanted to not have to log into the portal to connect to that VM we did before, we can say connect using remote desktop. So that's a pretty cool feature. Perhaps one of the biggest things that we've done with the SDK and tools in 1.7 is we've made it sort of open. And what we mean by that is that the packaging process for this at the moment, if I were to right-click on this solution and say press package, we go and package this, and this is the package that's actually deployed to Azure, what you'll see is that it creates what's called a CSPKG and a CSCFG.
Right.
Now, at the moment, all the content of this worker role and such is dropped into this one CSPKG. But let's say you're a Linux developer and you want to build this. Well, you can't really create a CSPKG. So what we've done is we've opened up the tooling such that now you can use a zip format to produce this. So perhaps as the last demo, what I'll do, because we may have some, perhaps not that many, but we may have some guys that use both Visual Studio, but they may also do Linux dev for other projects. So what I'd like to show here is we would need the Windows Azure command prompt. All right. And now we need to move to that directory. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to use the command line tool to change this into a zip so people can see that it's possible. Obviously, if I had, say, a Mac or if I was using Linux or something like that to do my development, you wouldn't be generating the CSPKG straight off the top. You'd go off and you'd be generating the zips. But I just want to show people that what the zip looks like. So we can use CSPack. And this is what Visual Studio uses under the hood to do everything, like generating this package. And we've got a command line argument here called CSPack use CDP package format. Pack, and then we say use CTP format. And then the syntax is we'll say Windows Azure 5.CSPKG. And then we want to create Windows Azure 5.zip. I think I spelt that wrong, which is mixed up.
There we go.
Perfect. So that's gone off, and now that's created that zip for us. So you can see there's all our content. So you can quite literally change it, repackage it, and deploy it like this. So that's our open packaging standard. So that's really cool as far as if you're a Mac developer, if you're a Linux developer, if you're a Windows developer, we can all now deploy our apps Windows Azure.
Excellent.
So that's pretty cool. I think that's probably most of the new stuff I have to show you.
Okay, cool. So there's a lot of stuff in there that really makes Azure development better and easier.
Yep.
I love the new portal. That seems really
snappy and
much easier to use and get a little bit better sense of what's going on. That's cool.
Yeah. So perhaps we should show people where they can get some resources.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That's good.
So let me go to windowsazure.com. Now, if you're developing, first thing you can do is come here and download the SDKs that are appropriate for each package.
Okay.
So if I'm a .NET developer, I can install all my Azure tools. Likewise, if you're developers for any of these other languages, that's a great entry point to go and start getting the bits that you need to get started. And as we showed at the start, just on the landing page, windowsazure.com, you can go off and you can sign up for a free trial to get access to all of this for free and explore and learn about Azure.
And have you updated the training course and training kit yet? Or is that
The training
coming?
Kit is being updated. It's
okay.
Very close.
Okay.
Perhaps by the time this is published, it'll
right.
be available.
Okay, that's on MSDN.
Yes.
So the Windows Azure Training course, the online course, and the downloadable kit.
Yep. Yeah, perhaps we can post some links up
okay.
on your show notes.
Sure, absolutely.
That. Awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. This is great.
Yeah, no problems. Thanks for having me.
So I hope you liked what you saw. Hope you agree that there's a lot of cool stuff in the tooling. So go get the SDK. If you haven't tried Azure out, highly recommend you get started. Get the trial edition. See what it's about. Figure out how it can benefit you.
Yep.
And thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
and
you're
maybe you'll have me on your show. We'll do a little trade, although I don't
Sounds
know. You know, if there's something you want me to talk about, I'm available. Just talk to my agent.
Who's your agent? What's the number?
Brady at this point.
Brady. Okay.
See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Thank you.